You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Redemption Online. It's so good to be with you this morning. Church family, it's so good to be with you. I miss you. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're surviving quarantine life. Hope you're finding ways to stay healthy and to stay sane during this crazy time. Just know that we love you, praying for you, thinking about you nonstop, and I'm just so thankful for these times that we have together online. Hey, if you're just joining us for the first time, my name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. We're so glad you're with us. Welcome to all of our first-time guests. Well, today we're continuing the series that we started last week called God, I Look to You. And here's the idea of the series. The idea is that times of uncertainty, and I don't know about you, but the word that I would use to describe the season that we're in right now is uncertain. Times of uncertainty can actually cause us to look up, to look to God and find what we need to get through what we're going through. We're in a look up season right now. And so together as a church over these next few weeks, we're going to look to God together. Come on, church, we're going to pull through and we're going to get through this together. Turn to somebody and let them know we're going to make it through this. Just type it in the comments. We're going to get through this. So we're going to look to God together. Now, let me just share a few observations with you, things that I've learned in difficult seasons. Couple things that I'm thinking about and reflecting on. Here's the first one. Difficult seasons can be times of accelerated learning. Difficult seasons can be times of accelerated learning. How many of you have had to learn something during this pandemic, during this quarantine life? Some of you, you've had to learn how to homeschool your kids. Some of you, you're like doing fifth grade math. You're relearning math, and you're trying to teach your kids how to do addition, and you've discovered that they don't teach math the way you learned when you were a kid. So you're like, carry the one. The kids are like, we don't carry the one. You're like, what? How do you do addition without carrying the one? These kids are all messed up, I know. But some of you, you've had to learn how to homeschool your kids. Some of you, it's cooking. Some of you, you always ate out in restaurants and ordered in. Like, you don't even know how to turn on your oven. I see people on Facebook like, help me. I got to cook for my family. Give me some recipes. Some of you, it's technology. You had to learn how to use Zoom, and now you're having, like, birthday parties on Zoom. Heck, our whole church, we had to figure out how to do church online. We had, like, a one-week crash course in doing church online. And I'm just going to say, I think our production, worship, and creative teams have done awesome. Come on, let's show some love to our teams in the comments. But we had a crash course in learning how to do church online. This is a season of accelerated learning. Some of you, you've learned some things that it would have taken you a lot longer to get around to it, but you've had to learn them pretty quick in this season. And I can just tell you, some of my greatest seasons of growth have been difficult seasons. And so here's my prayer. Here's kind of my posture. God, I want to learn everything that you want to teach me in this season so I don't have to relearn it again. This is a time when God wants to teach us some things, and so our learning is accelerated. Here's another thing, another observation. Difficult seasons tell us a lot about the quality of our faith. Difficult seasons have a way of revealing what our faith is made of, where our dependence really lies. You don't really find out much about how much you depend on God in good seasons when everything's fine, everybody's healthy, and you have plenty of money in the bank account. No. It's the times when you are more dependent on God that you find out what your faith is really made of. And so this is a time for us to strengthen our faith. Now, I want us to look at a psalm where the psalmist is working out this very thing. He's working out his faith. He's in a season, a situation where he needs help from God, and he's talking about his faith out loud, and he's working it out. And so we get to kind of have a front row here. See, let's look at this. Psalm 121. I'm going to read it to you. It's a famous psalm. You've probably heard this psalm before, or read it before, or maybe even heard me pray it. And here's what it says. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Can I get an amen, somebody? So this is a psalm that belongs to the category of the Psalms of Ascent. Many of you will see that there's a heading in your Bible and it says a song of ascent. So this was a psalm that worshipers sang while they were making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is located in a hilly part of the Holy Land. I've been there. There's hills all around it. In fact, the temple, it's up on a mount called the Temple Mount. And so when you made the ascent to Jerusalem, you were entering and going up into the mountains, into the hills. Now, I want to focus on the first two verses for just a few minutes. Look at this with me. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Some traditional translations say the hills. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, in verse 1, the psalmist asks a rhetorical question. We know that because he answers his own question in verse 2. He asks the question, where does my help come from? And he gives the answer in the next verse. So I always kind of assumed that he automatically believes that his help came from the Lord. So I kind of read it this way. I lift my eyes to the mountains because I know where my help comes from. My help comes from God. Like, he's up there. He's God, you know, up in the hills, in the mountains, up there somewhere. I know exactly where my help comes from. But after studying this passage out some more, looking at it in the original language in the Hebrew and reading a couple of different translations, I've come to see it differently. And I think there's a more accurate reading. In fact, we see this in the Message paraphrase and in the New Living Translation. I think it reads more like this. The psalmist is actually saying this. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Not where, not location-wise, where's my help come from, but does my help even come from there in the first place? So this is actually a contrast because he subtly answers the question this way. No, my help comes from the Lord. Something powerful happens in between the question that the psalmist asks in verse 1 and the answer that he gives in verse 2. The psalmist experienced something. And the key to understanding what the psalmist experienced, this transformational truth, is knowing what the mountains represent. So what do the mountains represent? I'm glad you asked. We don't know exactly, but commentators and scholars have some ideas. And as I studied this out, I found at least three ideas. Commentators tell us that the mountains could represent at least three things that I think we can identify with. Here's the first one. They might represent hiding places. Hiding places. This would be like a place of safety, a place where you might hide if you were en route on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. If there was danger, if there were some sketchy people coming along the road, this might be a place you might hide. Now, the Holy Land is filled with all of these, you know, these hills and mountains, and there's lots of crags and natural caves. I've seen them myself. In fact, when we read in Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells his most famous parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. It tells a story about a man who's robbed on the Jericho Road. That's the road leading from Jerusalem through the mountains on down to Jericho. We have a picture there for you. And he got robbed because there were tons of places that thieves could actually hide in the mountains. This road was famous for that sort of thing. So commentators tell us the mountains might represent a hiding place, a place where we go to for refuge. The other thing they might represent is what we call high places. What is a high place? A high place is not somewhere you went to get high. I know some of you were thinking that. High places were actually hills on the outskirts of a town where people made sacrifices, and these were usually associated with idol worship. So before the Israelites occupied the Holy Land belonged to the Canaanites, and they had all of these shrines set up on these high places on the outskirts of town where they went to worship their gods. And so sometimes the people of God went out to those places and used them to worship God, but they fell into idol worship. So some of the commentators tell us the mountains might represent the high places where people would go to try to access the help of the gods. Here's the third thing. Commentators tell us the mountains, the hills, they may just represent good old natural stability. Think about how you might call someone your rock, right? And a mountain is a picture of that. So mountains in the ancient times, in the ancient thinking, they were considered to be like the earth's pillars. All right, so three different pictures there. At worst, the mountains here, when the psalmist talks about looking to the mountains, represent the places where we try to hide in the things in our lives that we make idols out of. You know, what do you find yourself hiding in when you're in a time of trouble? What do you bury yourself in? Some of you just bury yourself in just binge watching Netflix or overeating or doing ice cream therapy. Some of us, we have things that we look to, but over time, they become like idols in our lives. Money, power, sex, position, whatever it might be. That's at worst. At the other end of things, at best, the mountains may represent the things that we tend to look to and depend upon that are not necessarily bad things. Our jobs, our savings accounts, our 401k, right? Our retirement account, our family, our friends, our connections, our health, our homes, our skills, our talents, our ability, our problem-solving skills. These are the things that we find ourselves looking to. Let me ask you this question. What do you naturally look to in a time of need, especially in a time of trouble? What do you find yourself depending on? What are the hills? What are the mountains in your life? Here's the problem. All the things that we're used to leaning on, all the things that we're used to depending on have been disrupted and shaken in this season of our lives. And so here's the question. What do we do when the things that we're used to looking to have been shaken? When we can no longer depend on the things that we're used to depending on? Some of you, like you had a loved one who used to watch your kids so you could go to work. And now because of social distancing, you know, you can't rely on that person anymore. And you're trying to work from home and on your laptop. And you're also trying to care for your kids. And it's hard. Some of you depended on a job and your hours have been cut in half, or you've been furloughed and now you can't depend on that job. What do you depend on? What do you do when the things that you've depended on in life have been shaken? Here's what we do. We ask the same question that the psalmist asks in Psalm 121. Here's the question. Does my help come from there? Lord, I'm looking around at all of these things. I'm lifting my eyes to the hills, to the mountains, to all the things that have been a stabilizing force in my life, a rock, a foundation in my life. And here's the question we arrive at. Does my help come from there? It's a powerful question. It's a clarifying question because this question causes us to look up a little higher. I picture the psalmist looking up on the horizon and scanning the mountains and the hills, and then looking up a little bit higher to the Lord, because the mountains are nothing compared with the help of the Lord, the one who made the mountains. My help comes not from the hills, not from the mountains, but the one who made the mountains, the maker of heaven and earth. And so I picture the psalmist as he scans the horizon, looking to the hills, and then looking up a little bit higher and recognizing where his help really comes from. Does my help come from there? Does my help come from my job? Does my help come from my connections? Does my help come from my savings account? No. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord, the one who gave me a job. My help comes from the Lord, the one who gave me the opportunity to gain some skills and get an education so that I could get some job and earn some money and have some money in my bank account. Come on, God is my source. God is my provision. He's the one who gave me all of those things. I'm not looking to those things. I'm looking to the one who is the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, in this season, in seasons of uncertainty, it's seasons like this that we find ourselves looking for help. Seasons like this actually contain a gift. I know we don't think about it this way because we're in a difficult time, but in seasons where we're looking and we're searching and we're more dependent on God, they contain a gift because they cause us to stop what we're doing and look up. Normally in life, we're just going through the motions and we're so focused on what we have to do, our job, our commute, you know, our finances and all the things we have to do, our families, maintaining our homes, whatever. But it's seasons like this that actually give us a gift because they cause us to stop and to look up and to become more dependent on God. Come on, we're in a look up moment right now. Somebody say look up. Somebody type look up in the comments. We're in a look up season right now. Church, you gotta look up. You gotta look up. Now, we all know that this season has brought many problems. I don't wanna make light of that. I don't wanna minimize the pain that we've all felt to some degree. I know we're all hurting in some way, you know? We're living on top of each other, and some of you, like, this is a stress on your, if you're married, on your marriage, and it's stressful being with your kids, and some of you, you're single people, and you feel isolated, and some of you, you know, your work has been affected, your finances have been affected, and there's been people in your family, or maybe you've been sick, and we all know someone who's lost someone. I don't wanna minimize the pain that we've felt, but I wanna tell you this, this season has also brought along with it some opportunity. Some opportunity. And here's one of the opportunities we have right now to learn how to depend on God like never before. Because I want to tell you something that I want you to meditate on and put in your notes. The strongest you've ever been is when you are most dependent on God. The strongest you've ever been is when you were most dependent on God. I know it's counterintuitive because when you're in seasons where you're utterly dependent on God, you feel weak in and of yourself. You feel weak. You felt like you didn't have what you needed, that you didn't have the answers and you weren't strong enough. But why is this true? Why is it that that was the time when you were strongest? Because it caused you to depend on God, to stop trusting in yourself and all these other things. And when you stopped trusting in yourself and you had to be dependent on Him and you cried out to Him by faith, you gained access to a greater power than you can even comprehend. You tapped into something. The scripture says, in our weakness, He is made strong. So the strongest you've ever been is when you were most dependent on God. Right now, if you feel really dependent, if you feel like, Pastor Jeremy, I feel weak, I feel tired, I don't know how much longer I can do this. This quarantine life is driving me crazy, and I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, and I've just been crying out to God. I just want to tell you, the strongest you've ever been is when you're most dependent on God, because in our weakness, He is made strong, and we tap into His strength. Let me just tell you, I want to just talk to you for a moment about a season of life where I learned this like never before. Many of you, you know our story if you've been around our church for some time. Some of you are new, you don't know our story as well, but Amy and I, we moved to Westchester back in 2014, and we had been in Amy's hometown of Buffalo for 6 years, pastoring there, and we took the greatest leap of faith in our lives. After a year of prayer, we felt like God was transitioning us, and there was just this missionary tug in our hearts to plant a church, and we had been traveling down to the New York City area for over a year, and we had like a magnetic calling and a magnetic pull in our hearts down to Westchester. And we left everything we knew. We didn't have friends and family here. This wasn't an area we were familiar with. All of our family is back in Western New York on Amy's side. And so everything that we had trusted in was shaken. All of our mountains, all of our hills. We left our family and friends. We left a church that we loved. I left the position where I was an associate pastor. I left the parsonage that we lived in, the home that we had there. My oldest son, Aaron, had to leave his school. We took the greatest financial leap of faith that we've ever taken. I mean, this was a leap of faith. Sure, we had some other churches that were helping us and we were fundraising, but we didn't have it all figured out financially. Like, we had to trust God like never before. We transitioned to missionary life. I had to raise my salary for the first time ever in my life, and it was scary. And newsflash, there was a slight cost of living adjustment moving to Westchester. Like, hello, how many zeros do I have to put in the check just to pay rent here? I know you feel my pain. And so it was the greatest leap of faith we've ever taken in our lives. And I wish I could tell you that we got down here and it was just so easy. You know, I kind of pictured like, you know, okay, God, we've passed the test of faith. You know, we packed up this U-Haul and we're moving down to the New York City area. And God, you're going to show up. Come on, God's going to bless this thing. He's going to start sending us people and open doors and we're going to just hit the ground running. Well, that's not how it worked out. And I don't try to win the award for the worst start to a church plant in world history, but to this day, I kind of have to give it to myself, because what happened is the very first week we moved, Amy's mom and dad came down from Buffalo to help us move, and we kissed mom and dad goodbye on a Monday. They got back on the train. That Wednesday, we got the worst phone call of our lives. Amy's dad passed away of a massive heart attack at 58 years old, and we were completely devastated. So the start to our church plant was to get in our car and drive back to Buffalo and go preach my father-in-law's funeral. So we came back after a couple weeks, and of course, we were devastated. I mean, we were like emotional basket cases. I think if I didn't have to get my oldest son, Aaron, up for school every day, I don't know if we would have got out of bed during that season. So it was a season when we were more dependent on God than ever before. We didn't have family. We didn't have friends. Here we were, you know, undertaking this really difficult work. If it sounds hard, I promise you, it was as hard as it sounds, if not more. And I'll never forget when we got back after Dad's funeral, how people began to send us cards, condolences cards. And people didn't just send cards, but they sent cards with checks in them. I mean, we didn't host the funeral. I've never heard of this before. But every day we would go to the mailbox and we would open card after card with beautiful words, but checks. I mean, it was like manna from heaven. Amy and I would be in tears, and God built our faith and He built our savings. It was like God was saying, like, I've got you. I'm going to take care of you. You can depend on me. And it built our faith. And I'll never forget, you know, months into this, as I was out raising money and trying to preach at different churches, because it takes a lot of money to start a church, to plant a church. I'll never forget, I was talking to our church accountant once, Lisa. So our mother church, Allison Park, They were handling all of our finances, and we were planting the church under their leadership. And I'll never forget, I was talking to our accountant, Lisa, and I was looking at our account, and the money was just drained. It was gone. And I said, well, obviously, Lisa, we're not going to be able to take a paycheck next week because, you know, I just don't see how that could happen. I don't know what we're going to do, and I guess we'll have to dip into our savings or whatever. Well, you know, that very week, some checks came in the mail. One of our friends wrote, one of the largest checks we had received. A few other churches came on board. We had our largest week of fundraising in one week, that very week, when I thought I wasn't going to be able to get paid. I can think of another time after we launched the church a few weeks in when we were just started and it was just a few of us. The church was small. And I'm going to tell you, it was painful to count the offering back then. I mean, it was depressing because we would count the offering. It's like, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to be able to keep this church open and sustain ourselves. And so I was doing a lot of praying in that season. And I used to go down to, there was a Catholic church at the end of my street. And I used to go there and pray. I used to tease and say, I'm Catholic during the week and Protestant on the weekends. But I would go to that church and pray. And there was a lady named Sharon who used to send a check every month. And so I went to the P.O. box and I checked the P.O. box and there was an envelope there from Sharon. And I was grateful, but I didn't get excited because I knew what the amount was that she sent every month. And so I had that check in my jacket and I went to that little Catholic church and I cried out to God. And I said, God, I don't know how we're going to do this. Like, God, you've got to send the provision. You've got to send the help. If you called us here, like, Lord, we can't make it. We can't sustain ourselves on what's coming in right now. And I got home from praying, and I opened that envelope, and that check had an extra zero. Come on, the answer to my prayer was inside of that envelope in my jacket. Can you picture this? The whole time I'm praying for God to provide, the answer was already in my jacket pocket. Church, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. And I have a journal that's filled with testimony after testimony of the goodness of God in our lives, how he sent people, how he sent friends, and how he opened doors and sent finances just when we needed them. What was God teaching me in that season? God was stripping away everything that I had trusted in besides him, my education, my preaching, my abilities, my finances, my connections. See, I was praying and I was crying out to God and I was trying to trust in him, but I was carrying the weight of it as if it all depended on me, and it was killing me. But God was teaching me to depend on him like never before. God was teaching me to trust him. He was building my faith. I can tell you one thing. There's no way I can look back and take credit for this church, because if God hadn't shown up, we would have been in trouble. God was teaching me something that I was going to need to sustain me over these years of pioneering and launching this church. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Come on, look at the rest of this psalm with me. Look at this, verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I love that picture. Come on, he's not going to fall asleep on the watch. Even while you're resting, God is watching over you. When you can't even do anything, when you can't even be out making money or solving problems, you're asleep in your bed. God is watching over you. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. I love that picture of shade. It's a picture of God's presence. He hides you in his shade. Verse 6, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What a beautiful picture of how we can depend on God. As I look back over that season of my life, I see how God was watching over us. You know, I mentioned my journal before. I have this journal where I wrote down many of those testimonies in the early months of planting this church. My dad kept saying to me, you need to write these things down because one day you're going to go back and you're going to need to read these things. And every now and then I open up that journal. I did it just this past week. And I read story after story of God's faithfulness, of how God provided, how he sent checks just in time, how pastors and other friends stepped up to help us, how God sent team members and worship team members, and he sent people to help us with the kids ministry just as we were launching the church, and he opened doors, and he sent the help that we needed. And I look back, and I realize how if God hadn't showed up, if God hadn't watched over us, we wouldn't even be here right now, church. I'm telling you, if you call this church home, you're part of a miracle. You're part of something that only God could have done. I've seen his provision. I've learned this. I've lived this. Let me ask you this question. Can a job do that for you? Can money do that for you? Can a house do that for you? No. My help doesn't come from those things. My help comes from the Lord. My help doesn't come from the mountains. I may look to the hills. I may look to the mountains, but my help doesn't come from there. My help comes from the Lord. And so here's what we learn in seasons like this, in the in-between seasons, in between verse 1 and verse 2. Here's what we learn. We don't look to the provision. We look to the provider. We don't focus on the gifts. We turn to the giver of the gifts. We don't look to the mountains. We learn to look to the creator of heaven and earth. I'm not trusting in the mountains. I'm trusting in the one who created the mountains. That's where my hope lies. That's where my dependence is. That's where my trust lies. And here's the sad thing. The sad thing is how easily we can forget this. How easily we can drift from this truth of depending on God. I've seen it in my own life. How easy I can forget all that God has done for me, and I can become self-sufficient. I can rely on myself, and I end up being fearful all over again when things take a difficult turn. But every now and then, the Holy Spirit will send these little gentle reminders. And we're in a season like that right now, church. I know it hasn't been easy. I'm not trying to minimize that, but it's a season that contains a gift, a surprise gift. And that is for us to learn to depend on God like never before. Like never before. You know, sometimes my three boys, I see them trying to put something together or fix something, or they're working on something and they're struggling. And I ask them if they need my help. And they're like, no, Dad, we've got this. You know, they're kind of independent sometimes. And that's good. Sometimes as parents, we have to step back and let our kids try to fix something on their own, learn something. But I watch them and they're struggling. And inevitably, they get frustrated. And they come to me and say, Dad, help me out. Can you help me with this? And I'm like, sure, I can help you out. I've been watching them this whole time, knowing that they need my help, just waiting for them to come to me. Now, we laugh at that, those of us who are parents. But here's the reality. We can be just like that. I think there are times when God is watching over us. And he's like, would you just trust in me? Would you just look to me? Would you just look up? Would you just depend on me? Because you're trying to figure it all out yourself. You're trying to make it all happen yourself. And you got to learn to depend on me. And what happens? Where does the breakthrough happen? The breakthrough happens when my kids recognize they need my help. And the same thing happens for us. The breakthrough happens when we finally come to the place of turning to God for help. The breakthrough comes when we look up and we have this moment of saying, God, I look to you. Come on. We are in a God, I look to you season right now. Somebody say, God, I look to you. Type in the comments, God, I look to you. When we quit looking to ourselves for everything, when we quit looking to all of these things, we quit trying to do it on our own, and we learn to trust in him. Let me say something. It's not that it's wrong to depend on a job or finances, or your spouse. I mean, we all need money, right? And unless you've won the lottery, send your tithe check, by the way. We all need money. We all need finances. If you're married, you need to rely on your spouse. We all need relationships. We have things we depend on. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when those things become our fixation. The problem is when those things become our hiding place, and they were never meant to be our hiding place. The problem is when those things become our idols, and we begin looking to them. No. This is a season to lift our eyes past the hills, past the things we look to look up even higher to our creator, to the maker of heaven and earth. You can have the mountains, but if you don't have the one who made the mountains, you don't have anything. Jesus said, what profits us to gain the whole world and lose our own soul? Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things that you have need of will be given to you as well. Don't depend on the mountains. We have the one who created the mountains. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let me leave you with this final thought. This week, it's the NFL draft. It's this past week, and so I've been thinking about football. And I was thinking about one of my favorite Hall of Fame speeches. It was when Michael Irvin retired back in 2007. Many of you know Michael Irvin as a sportscaster now, but of course, Michael Irvin was a part of the Dallas Cowboys during their glory years back in the early 90s. He won 3 Super Bowls with Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith, some of those legends. And he retired in 2007, and he gave what I think is one of the best Hall of Fame speeches. I think about it every now and then. And I was rewatching it the other day on YouTube. And he it's a great speech because he gives a lot of glory to God. I mean, he talks about how God has been faithful, and he shares about many of his weaknesses and his failures as a husband and as a father. And at the end of his speech, he got to this moment where he talked about going to the threshing floor, going to the place where he would pray out his greatest fears. And the year before he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, he had this fear that he would never make it into the Hall of Fame. He felt like he didn't belong in that category of great men because of all of his failures and his shortcomings and his mistakes. And his kids even asked him, "Dad, do you think you'll ever make it?" And he found himself crying out to God and being mindful of all of his failures and ashamed that he couldn't tell his kids to do things the way he had done things, that he hadn't been the perfect example. And he said in that moment of pain, in that moment of crying out to God, he felt the voice of God come over him in his heart, and he felt God say to him, "Look up, get up, and don't ever give up." And he said, "I want you to tell every person who's ever doubted, every person who's ever felt like they weren't good enough or felt like they were going to quit," he said to tell them, you look up, you get up, and don't ever give up. Come on, church, if you're feeling weak right now, if you're feeling like you can't do it, if you're feeling like you don't have all the answers and you feel like, "God, I need you, I'm utterly dependent upon you," that's okay, because now's the time for you to look up, get up, don't ever give up. Come on, tell somebody that today. Put it in the comments. Let's remind each other of that. "Lord, I look to you. God, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Does my help come from there? No. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Come on, I want to pray for you right now. Let's just pray together. Wherever you are, just bow your head, bow your hearts before God in this moment. Father, we thank you that we can look to you. God, we thank you that even though we're in this season of pain, even though we're in this season of uncertainty, this season of difficulty, God, we thank you that because you're a redemptive God, it contains a gift, a surprise gift. It's a season where we can learn to trust you like never before, to look up from the things that we're used to trusting in, from the things that we're used to depending on, and we can look to you, the maker of heaven and earth, and learn to trust you like never before. And God, we thank you for that picture that you're gonna watch over us. God, you're not gonna let our foot slip. God, you're gonna watch over us. You're not gonna fall asleep on the job, but you're gonna protect us. You're gonna take care of us. You're gonna give us everything that we need. And so I pray that right now for those who are in need, for those who are in financial need. God, for those who feel alone, God, for those who are struggling with anxiety, God, I thank you that you're going to provide everything that we need. And God, our prayer is that we would learn to trust you in this season, that this would be a season of accelerated learning, that we would learn to depend on you like never before, and we would never be the same. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.